Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're going to consider is the epistle lesson, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 58. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is our text. So, today we have both the politicians and the press using this pestilence to try to score political points. It seems kind of weird. It seems kind of underhanded. Well, it seems like a naked grab for power by anyone and everyone, as if somehow this was the time that we should argue about who's in charge. Maybe this is the time we should sit back and think about who really is in charge of everything and who appoints every authority. I mean, for those of us who spend time in the Word of God, it seems kind of absurd, doesn't it? Who's to blame for the mess? That question was answered a long time ago. Who do we trust to fix it? That, too, is a question that the Bible answers. And it doesn't begin with a donkey, a Republican, or an independent. We do believe God appoints leaders, authorities. But sometimes those people, even countries, can become somewhat delusionary in their thinking and their rhetoric about life. That is, when you set your mind to things, you can accomplish anything. When you gather everyone together, you can accomplish anything. I was just watching the president and his staff discuss that it would be good if only 100,000 people died in the United States. Is that a victory? Is that what man considers the best he can do? Actually, in light of pandemics and such, it's a reality in a lot of ways. But people who talk and act as if troubles in our world come about because the right man or woman does not have power really, really cause more distress and anxiety than you can imagine. In our text for today, Paul makes it clear that the church does not go looking for a man. The text doesn't speak that way. It's not Paul. It's not Apollos. The way that the church has addressed these troubles we face in the world is not to look at human beings, not to fix our eyes on them, for human beings can mess up just about everything and anything. The answer should be obvious to those who read their Bibles, who have taken a moment to reflect on these words from 1 Corinthians 15 about the only true and real victory over pestilence, which was let loose on this world in the curse. We do not with the world, which tries to discuss the matters of this world as if God didn't exist. We do not with the world find answers in men or women. Rather, we listen carefully to the word of God. As we heard yesterday in Psalm 130, in your word I find hope. I have hope, for it's the word that gets things done. We listen carefully to the Lord, who makes it clear that he is one who gives. He is the one who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. The world from the fall has been a place where pestilence and death reigned. It's not a surprise for anyone who has spent time on this in this world. Over and over again, we struggle against death. Every child knows the experience of watching grandparents and parents age, become frail, and even die. It's truly a hard thing to bear. It's not something that we can be taught to cope with, at least with human coping mechanisms. We watch as children become fearful when they begin to realize how deep and wide the curse is and what troubles it has brought. After the fall, man was tempted to deal with his fears and his jealousy and all sorts of things with murder. Again, we talked about this a couple of sermons ago. On Sunday, Jesus, who stood up to death, Caiaphas stood up for death. Cain killed Abel. Death. Cain had no authority to kill Abel. And we come to Genesis 6, and it says God grieved that he had made man because human beings were making a mess of things. And while it's interesting to go over to see the exhibit over in the Ohio-Kentucky area where the Ark is, we forget what the Ark is. It's a boat that saves 8 people and a number of animals because God was grieved, because human beings tried to take things into their own hands. And God was going to put the whole of creation, except those in the ark, to death. You take little children there, it's an amazing thing to look at the architecture, the design of the ark. But then you think about it. And when you go through the museum, you find that there are those varied pictures and discussions about all of those who drowned. So we come early on to see to these matters and spend years trying to cope with them. And for many, they see clearly the need for people to try to do something. As a matter of fact, that's a normal reaction. And it is a good reaction. Many go into medicine. Many go into civil service on one level or another, trying to pull together to help their neighbors during this difficult time. And that's as it should be. But we should have some humility in front of the curse or in the face of the curse. We should be humble and recognize that we will not solve it. We will not build the Tower of Babel. And there will be times after this crisis where there will be crime and war and, yes, pestilence again. And so when we think about those things, we grow weary, not just because we've spent 2 weeks trying not to get out and about, but from a lifetime of living in this valley of sorrows. And so we cry out, even as the people cried out at the end of the book of Revelation. Even so, Lord Jesus, come, come quickly. Yeah, they had it right. They had their eyes on whom they should have their eyes on, the one that will give us what is truly a victory, not just some respite, not just some immediate kind of relief. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And that he does. He comes. Oh, it seems like it's years. The psalmist in Psalm 130 spent a good deal of time crying out. And he says, I wait in hope. It seems that as we wait for this, we are wondering what this is going to bring to us in terms of death and financial ruins. But Christ is where he promises to be. Not just sometime way in the distant future when he comes on the last day, but he is present immediately at at hand whenever we have a need. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. He comes to speak to us as he did to the bones in Ezekiel 37, as he did to the psalmist in Psalm 130. And in those words, we have hope. For he comes to meet us where we are, and as Luther says, in the midst of the pestilence, well, quote this text from the back of the bulletin, when we begin to believe the article of Christ, the potion, Luther is playing with words here, is already mixed and drunk, which eliminates the poison that he, the devil, injected into my heart and conscience and also into my body. Now we are saved from the curse. And the same poison which we have in us is now poured out for the devil, so that he has to eat death by us. Thus we have drunk a salutary medicine in baptism and in the sacrament, which expels and removes our poison. This does not kill me, but the very enemy who intended to kill me with it. You see, this is why God employs such figurative language and calls himself a poison. Not a poison for us poor people who were once encumbered with death and pestilence, but a poison against the poison of death and hell. Now we who feel such poison and plague can take comfort from that, assured that God befriends us so greatly that he completely removes these from our body and soul and feeds these to the devil and death, that his belly is rent by them. It is Christ that we look to and in whom we find rest. Christ, who does not just come alongside of us to enable us to cope, for this world is not meant to be a place that we endure. We do endure it. We do cope with it to a certain extent. But as the people in the book of Revelation, as Paul himself would cry out, I desire to be with Christ. It wears us out. It bends us over. And the real enemy must be met and defeated. You cannot cope with death. Jesus comes to defeat death, to once and for all pay our debt, which brought death upon us, to defeat this enemy. Luther speaks about Christ as poison, not for us, but for our enemies, sin, death, and the devil. He comes to put death to death. He comes to defeat it. He comes to swallow it up with light and life so that we might know what victory is even now while we walk in the midst of a pestilence, so that we can rest and find comfort in his work. And this one, our great Lord, our bridegroom, comes to take upon himself our mortal sins, death, etc. And in exchange, he says that we must be dressed with clothes immortal. Mortality must be swallowed up with immortality. We must be dressed for the wedding feast. He comes, our great bridegroom, to defeat and in the process prepare everything for the wedding feast, including the bride. He comes to dress her up, to prepare her to meet his Father. He comes to fit us out with immortality so that we can go about this world with the assurance that life has swallowed up death. As the Catechism teaches, eternal life is a present possession to all of those who believe in Christ. We can bravely walk into the midst of this world, even with its terrible troubles, and we can courageously serve God and neighbor. For we are ready for eternity. We are ready for the feast. We have life now. And God promises to keep us. Politics. Seriously, this matter of a pestilence, this matter of dying people, this matter of life and death is not solved by such a lowly venture. Rather, this is the real battle, the real thing. And it is Christ that truly heals the hearts, minds, and bodies of sinners, who then cry out and participate in the victory that they've won in and through Jesus Christ, as Paul tells us. It's a done deal, and so we walk in the midst of whatever is going on in this world as more than conquerors. If God is for us, Paul will say in Romans 8, who can be against us? Who or what can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? If God is for us, if he has given us the victory, then we walk and live like those children and heirs that we are, looking forward to that last day when our Lord Jesus will come. It will be quick. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.